Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
I will be reading Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 from the King James Version. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love.
As we begin this morning, we have a verse that will help us, I think, as we focus on what it means to live that balanced life this year and especially this month. If you would, let's say this together. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Psalm 46:10. And of course, that's just a reminder of who's really in charge in the midst of all the confusion in the world around us. We have been thinking about what it means to live a life that's in balance. And the week before last, we thought about what it means to have a balanced spiritual diet. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be exploring that further. What does that look like, not only in what we consume spiritually, but how we share with others spiritually? Now, over the years, there have been a lot of the old stories, old fairy tales that have been handed down, that have been made into movies. And sometimes when you watch a movie, it can be an even more graphic, an even scarier depiction of the villain of some of these stories. Because every good story that gets passed down, every good fairy tale, has some kind of villain that has an evil plot. And maybe that villain has special powers. Maybe you just see that villain always plotting and you're just worried about what they will do. And there's a specific design, there's a plan for the hero. And you just know that that hero is going to walk right into the trap. There are some scary moments. But can I tell you, I think that one of the scariest features of any of these old fairy tales that have been made into movies is one that you might not expect. Now, probably all of us have either seen the movie or at least heard the story of Pinocchio, about the boy who's going to, the puppet who wants to become a real boy. And we know that one of the features that Pinocchio has to deal with is that nose that grows longer every time he tells a lie. And maybe you've seen the recent commercial about Pinocchio as a motivational speaker and keeps trying to tell people in the audience that they have potential and the nose keeps growing, which is why it's probably not a very motivational speaker. Here's why I think this could be pretty scary. Can you imagine what would happen if every time you and I said something that wasn't true, everyone around us immediately knew? I mean, immediately. Because sometimes we're tempted to lie or to maybe embellish the truth about things that don't even matter. things that don't even make sense. People ask us a question, and we might respond to say, yes, I know about this, or yes, I've heard of this, or I've seen that, because we just want to look more impressive. Can you imagine if every time we did something like that, our noses grew? There was some instant way they could know exactly what we were lying about. I think that could be scary. It could be scary because it would remind us how subtle the temptation is, and maybe how often I buckle under pressure and I go ahead and let people think things that aren't exactly true. I don't correct something that needs to be corrected. In fact, can you imagine what it would be like if in every one of the messages we receive today, either from our friends, from family members, from people we work with, from things we see on TV, from things we hear about, can you imagine if every time we heard someone stretch the truth, embellish what really happened, or tell a lie that we instantly knew? How would that change the way we perceived information that came in? Because really, it seems like in the world around us, truth is often more the exception than the rule. And we just assume that when people are talking to us, that maybe they have another agenda. We assume when we see things in the media, when we see things on TV, that there's another perspective, there's something else at play. Truth seems to be increasingly rare. And it's not just truth that's rare in our culture today. When you look around at the way we work, the way society works, and the kind of behavior that's rewarded, loving behavior is not usually rewarded. Typically, when we see the culture around us, we don't see a lot of presence of love, but we definitely see presence of hate, presence of people who are out only for themselves, not thinking about others. We hear stories about things that human beings do to other human beings simply because there's something that person has that they want, or something that person can do for them, they want them to do. It's not love, that's hate that seems to dominate our culture and seems to dominate our discourse. In fact, in our society, when we say things or do things to get attention that could be hateful and that could be hurtful, we're often rewarded with likes and with clicks and retweets. And can you believe this person said this to this person and this person said this to this person? How many stories do we see that pop up on our newsfeed that you'll say, you'll never believe what happened next? You'll never believe what this person said to this person. And it's likely not going to be good. It's not going to be, you'll never believe what loving thing this person did to someone else. It's usually going to be the opposite. Both truth and love seem to be in short supply in our culture today, which is why I think it's significant that in Ephesians 4, when Paul is describing what the church at Ephesus and churches everywhere need in order to grow, truth and love are at the core of what it takes to have that balanced spiritual diet. In fact, as he describes a church family, he describes the way in which it continues to build up together. You almost get this sense of the body growing together, and every ligament is fitly joined with every other, and that's the way it's going to work. And once you have this, then you really get a vision of what the church could be. And in Ephesians 4, Paul is painting a vision of what the church would look like when everybody's doing their part, when everything is working together. Speaking of commercials, I was thinking this week about the commercials that were around when I was growing up. The commercials that would try to encourage, especially children and families, to drink more milk. And you'd have a boy standing in front of a mirror, and he'd get to have a conversation with himself in the future, where he's grown up and he's healthy and he's muscular and he's just looks exactly like what this little boy wants to be. And the whole purpose of that commercial was, if you think about what you want to be, you're going to start doing the things now to get you there. I think that this morning we can look at Ephesians chapter 4, and it's almost as if we're getting this picture Paul is painting to say, no matter where you are on the journey, if you're young Christians that are part of a church family, or if you've been a Christian for a long time, let's just be reminded of God's design for how the church works together. And I think as we study this, we're going to see all kinds of ways that the congregation here does these things, that people do their part. I can't count how many times I've just stood back over the last few years and really had to stop and say a prayer of thanksgiving and marvel over the way Christians here work together. And yet when Paul paints this picture, it's a reminder that there's always more I could do. There's always more ways that we could grow. So let's consider that as we look at Ephesians 4 together. If you haven't already opened up to the passage that Pierce read for us, I hope that you will. We're going to be centering around this phrase in verse 15, but I think we're going to see that it's not just this phrase, speaking the truth in love, that is important, because we see that same sentiment all throughout the book. A couple of things to remember as we study through this passage. The first is that Paul is clear that showing love will require sharing truth. If I truly want to show love, it will require me sharing the truth. Now, we know this is true on an experiential level because we've had to sit across from people that we loved and we've had to tell them things that were hard to tell them. But we didn't have the option to say, well, since I love this person, I'm just not going to mention this, because we knew that if we chose not to mention the issue, if we chose to avoid it, we wouldn't be doing that person any favors. And so just like we would want a doctor to sit across from us and be honest about what's happening, whether it made us upset or not, the loving thing to do would be to tell us the truth. Just like a parent talking to a child needs to tell them things sometimes that are truthful, and it might not be fun to talk about, but love requires it. The same thing is true spiritually. In fact, the truth is vitally important to Paul. In our class on Sunday mornings, we just finished a study of Galatians. And it's interesting to note how many times that truth concept shows up. For example, in Galatians chapter 2, as Paul is describing what happens when people have come in and they're trying to peddle an idea that isn't true, that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough and you still have to do all of these boundary markers and identity markers from the old covenant. And he says, we did not yield in subjection to them even for an hour so that the truth of the gospel would remain with you. Truth is important. And then just a few verses later, we see in verse 14, Paul says, when I saw they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel. Specifically in Galatians 2, it's describing the way in which Gentile Christians need to be treated, and that treating them differently, going back to the way things used to be before Christ between the Jews and the Gentiles, was not consistent with the truth of the gospel. Truth is vitally important, and Paul said the way we live our lives displays whether or not we believe the truth. In fact, earlier in the book of Ephesians, Paul has defined what the truth is. And so when we read speaking the truth in love in Ephesians 4:15, here's how he defines the truth in Ephesians 1. He said, in him you also, after listening to the message of truth, what is the message of truth? The gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. So it's certainly important for us to be truthful in all aspects of our lives. And truth is in short supply today. But when Paul mentions the truth and love in Ephesians 4, he's specifically honing in on the true message of the gospel. So showing love to someone is going to require sharing the true message of the gospel. That's a mark of love. And Paul's very clear that that truth is vitally important. In fact, you may remember a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the whole counsel of God, that balanced spiritual diet. We mentioned what happens in Acts chapter 20 when Paul meets with the elders of Ephesus, and he warns them that there will be people, some even among them, that are going to show up and start saying things that aren't true. And you need to be willing and able to step up and say, that's not true. That's not right. It's interesting even to imagine, as Paul is writing this letter, some concerns he would have for the church at Ephesus of some of the very same things. In fact, look just one verse earlier in verse 14. Listen to the way that those who would teach something that's false, and specifically here we're in the context of the good news of what it means to be saved. In verse 14, as a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and craftiness and deceitful scheming. And so this idea of truth and love is in contrast with the deceitful scheming and the craftiness of people who want to pass off something that isn't true. So the truth is vitally important. And sometimes the truth is hard to share. But the truth is going to stand out in the worlds we live in today. It's important for us to understand that when we look at the truth of Scripture, that truth is going to be so distinctive that it's going to stand out. Now, there are some subjects in the Bible that we just don't enjoy talking about. Maybe it's because it's a sin that hits a little bit too close to home. And if I talk about this, I'm going to have to think about my own life. Maybe it's because it's something that's not very popular. And so the prevailing opinion is against it. And so if I talk about this lifestyle, or if I say this is the way Christians ought to act, I already know I'm inviting criticism from someone else who might listen to me. But the most loving thing I can do is share that truth. In fact, one of the reasons that at least when I'm trying to put together a lesson or a message, and we try to deal with the contemporary issue, I don't want to spend time identifying specific individuals or calling names or saying, well, so-and-so is wrong about this. Because if we just magnify the truth of Scripture, if we point to the truth of God's Word, then everything else, by contrast, we'll be able to tell if something's right or wrong. We won't have to necessarily get specific about so-and-so saying this or doing this. We say, hey, here's what Scripture says. If I just compare it to Scripture, then I know that I'm going to be able to have my senses developed in a way I can identify what's right and wrong. Showing love requires sharing truth. It might be easier for me to spare the truth, but it wouldn't be loving. Because if I really loved someone, I would tell them the truth that matters. But sharing truth also requires showing love. I love the way that Paul puts these two together about sharing the truth and love, because all through the book of Ephesians, he's outlined different ways in which love is important. He's described at various points in Ephesians the church as being rooted and grounded in love, of showing tolerance for one another in love, and that the church would build itself up in love. In fact, if you look at Ephesians 4 and verse 2, that's where we get that phrase, showing tolerance for one another in love. And then in verse 16, that the end result of the church growing together is building itself up in love. So when he gives that list of all of those parts, God gave some to be this and some to do this and some to do this, and it all works together. And when we mature, we're not going to be tossed about on every wind of doctrine. We're going to be building up ourselves. The parts of the body will be joined together, and we'll build up ourselves in love. From beginning to end of that section of Scripture, it's almost as if it's bracketed by love. We need love at the beginning. We need love at the end as we continue to grow. Love is vitally important to Scripture. And I probably don't have to spend a lot of time this morning trying to convince you how important love is to God. But what I'd like for us to remind ourselves of is how just important love is when it comes to truth. Because there are ways that I can say something that's right, but do it in a way that's hurtful. And there are ways I can say something that's right and do it in a way that's loving. In fact, even though truth is vitally important, I'm reminded of what Paul writes to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter that's famous for being about love, specifically in a congregational context. And verse 2, listen to what he says here. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all ministries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. Now, often when we read that chapter, we read it all together, and I think that's good. But I want us just to pause and think about that specific verse. If I had all love, if I had all knowledge, if I could understand all prophecies, if I had all faith, and Paul says, if I have all of that truth, but I don't have love, Paul says, I'm still doing pretty well. Things are still going well for me. He says, no, if I don't have love, it's like I'm nothing. That's how essential love is, especially if we're looking at the way the truth is talked about in Ephesians 4 as the message of the gospel of salvation. I've got to have love. It's not an option for me. And it might feel like it's easier sometimes just to go around and I'm just going to tell people the truth. And I don't care what they think or how they react. I'm just going to tell them. And that's just my personality. That's just who I am. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Well, Paul would say, if I'm going to go around and do that and don't have love, it's like I'm nothing. Later on in that chapter, he's going to say, love rejoices in the truth. They go hand in hand. They're connected together. I can't have one without the other. And love is going to stand out in the world we live in today. Last week, Noel Whitlock was with us. He preaches for the college church in Searcy. And as he was talking with me, he mentioned the fact that over the last few years, one of the song leaders that they had that was a student at Harding was the song leader and the individual we heard about in the news a couple of, I guess, maybe a year ago or so around that time, Botham Jean. He was in that news story because he was the one who the police officer had shot in his own apartment. We remember the tragedy of that occurrence. If you're like me, you kept up with the news. What was going to happen? How were they going to resolve things? And if you're like me, you probably also noticed the story that came out when the police officer was in court and Brant, Botham's younger brother, was there in giving his testimony and given an opportunity to say something to that police officer. And said that he loved her, that he hoped that she would consider following Jesus, and that he wanted her to know that he loved and forgave her. Now, you probably also remember the reactions to that. And I understand there are some overarching issues about how did that something like that happen, and a lot of things that would need to be addressed. But it's amazing how shocking it was to the world to see someone who loved someone else so radically. It was so different. In fact, even now, as a student at Harding, he's repeating that that concept of loving this person and caring about this person and encouraging others to do the same. Showing love is going to stand out in the world we live in. In 2019, there were records of flooding that were broken in the Midwest. And I read one story, and you may have read it too, about the church in Nebraska. It's called the Nebraska City Church of Christ that reached out to help families around them that had been displaced by the flooding or that were moving or that were dealing with the loss of property. It's a church that averages attendance of about 70 to 100, but they were able to reach out and help 170 different families relocate. They had the help of resources like Churches of Christ Disaster Relief, but because of their specific work in their community, in this area where the church isn't as strong or as prevalent as it is here in the South, they made a difference because love stands out. Being unloving is inconsistent with being truthful. It seems that that's what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4, isn't it? If you're going to have truth, you have to have love. And it's hard to remember this. But when I decide that I'm going to just tell the truth without showing any love, what I'm really doing is I'm putting myself above the mission of God. I'm putting my own preferences above that mission. Now, the same is true on the other extreme. If I decide, well, I love someone, I don't want to tell them the truth, I'm putting my preferences before God's mission. But the same is true if I say, well, I'm just going to tell them the truth and I don't care what they think. Well, I'm also putting myself above God's mission. God's mission is to love them. Yes, to tell them the truth, but to love them. And sometimes that's messy. And sometimes that means I've got to invest my time and energy in getting to know someone. Understanding their background, where they come from, what has their experience been? How did they arrive at the conclusions that they hold? What kind of lifestyle have they been exposed to? I need to put myself in their shoes. It doesn't mean I change the message of the gospel or what I believe, but it means I lovingly seek to understand their perspective. If I don't do that, I can't really be truthful. When I share the truth without love, I'm dishonoring the God who loves me. In fact, there are times that I might read something. Maybe it's in a publication of some kind. Maybe it's online, some kind of religious discussion forum. And I might even agree with someone's perspective. But the way it's presented is in a way that is so harsh and devoid of love that I can't agree with that approach. I can't agree with that attitude. Years ago, I had a conversation with an individual who was in charge of helping publish this religious publication. And so he was telling me about a story that happened decades ago now. But as I remember our conversation, it was several decades ago when printing was not as easy and not everybody had all the right equipment. And so there was someone who was helping them print this publication, and she was not a Christian. And so this specific group that had gotten together to write these articles and write this statement about different issues that were happening, he went to ask her about the publication. And she said, oh yeah, that's the one where everybody's mad at so-and-so. And I honestly don't even remember the name. I wouldn't use it if I remembered it. I don't remember the name of the person who had done or said something, and everyone was writing about that individual. Here you have someone who was not a Christian, and her exposure to the church was about other people who were writing up someone. Now, I know there are times we've got to stand up and say, this is right, and we're going to stand for it. But I think there are plenty of times where we might be tempted, because of the importance of the truth, to overlook the necessity of showing love. And let me just go ahead and say what I want to say, and I won't care how it affects anyone. Paul says that's not the way the church grows. Church doesn't grow up that way. That's not the way we develop. We develop by speaking the truth and doing it in a loving way. It's convicting for me to read that because I can think of times, specific times, that I've failed to do that. That I've failed in my conversations with others. That I might even sit down after a sermon or a class and think, oh, I wish I had done it a different way. This didn't come across the way I wanted it to. This came across in a way that didn't seem to reflect love. Or I didn't say everything I needed to say about this topic. I'm not saying any of us are perfect. I'm saying Paul is showing us that picture. God, through Paul, is showing us the picture of what it means to grow up, to continue to develop. And so the most loving thing I can do for someone is share the truth with them. And if I share that truth, it is a necessity that I do it in love. Neither one is optional. Both are important. Both should be a part of the way that we live. And both are helpful for us to build the church together. It would be scary if everyone immediately knew when I was saying something that wasn't true. It would be scary if we lived in a world where we knew what was said to us that wasn't true. But the good news this morning is I can trust in the truth of God's Word. The God who is all loving and never compromises in truth has given me a pattern of how to live. So it may be this morning you need to become a child of God. If you want to respond to the love of God, it means accepting the truth about who God is and what He's done for us. It means understanding that He sent His Son, that to live a life, to sacrifice for us, to be raised from the dead, to ascend into heaven, and because of that, we see our path forward for a future, an eternity with Him. It involves the truth of understanding how important it is for me to put myself in submission to Him, to put Christ on in baptism, and to begin living a life that's by His truth. It may be that somewhere along the way you've stumbled and maybe you're struggling and you want the prayers of this congregation. If you'd like to pray with a couple of our shepherds right after this worship service, if you go out that doorway, there'll be a couple of them that would love to sit down and to pray with you and for you. It may be that you want the church to pray with you together. Let's keep growing. Let's keep sharing the truth, not just to each other, telling each other the truth when we need to hear it, but sharing the truth with our community. Let's keep doing it in love. I'm constantly amazed and encouraged by the love that I see in the church family here. Let's keep that growing. And by speaking the truth in love, we'll grow up in the way that we should. If there's any way we can help you, please come as we stand and as we sing together.